Thank you for joining Men Talk About Podcast. My name is Paul Newell. I'm the host. I'm also a new wellness guide. And I help people, men specifically, tap into their version of what well-being is. And this episode was really special because when I work with people, I educate them, or I help them teach themselves about the language that they speak, how they speak to themselves, how they speak to others, something that I practice on a regular basis because it is a practice. So having my guest on in this session and knowing what he's been working on, what he does, it was really a blessing to have him on. And I'm excited for you to hear this messaging and what this session is about, in regards to how our words matter.
Oh, sucky, sucky now. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Men Talk About. I am your host, Paul Newell. I am excited and giddy. You may even hear it in my voice. I got a big grin and smile on. I'm interviewing, and I got my a guest, my guy right here, Carmel Surratt. Oh, man, I'm excited. Carmel, to give you a little history about Carmelo, and actually before I even do that, thank you for joining in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. This is the first time you're coming into this podcast. This podcast is for men and the masculine energy, men's development, men's education, men's work, so we can ascend for the highest good of all and become more of a conscious masculinity in this collective, in this system of things. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for diving in. And now I can get to the history of this man here. So Carmel, I met this guy, what is it, 3 years now again? 3 years coming up? 3 years ago, Boyson from the Mankind Project, he brought us together in a project that they were doing called the Men's Work. Now, it's an online 3-week program. Carmel and I were the first facilitators. And I remember I met this dude, and I'm like, oh, I know this guy. I know this guy here. From a previous lifetime. Yeah, I know him. But it's wild. Like, we both got the nice domes, wear glasses. He's on the East Coast. He's on the West Coast. I'm on the East. And when we got together and facilitated these men through this 3-week process, it was like, we were able to create space. And over the 3 years, I've really gotten to know Carmel well. And like, you know, I really consider him a dear friend, a mentor, a guide for me. We're supporting and helping each other. And we're doing some work and bringing some positive things out there. And for those, now that you know the history, to give you more of the data about Carmel, Carmel is a life coach, and first and foremost, he's my Mankind Project brother. That's how we first met, and I also consider him a spiritual brother. And his mission is, with wisdom, compassion, and humor, he inspires others to heal their hearts and move beyond their limiting beliefs or limits, and with clarity, and bring their gifts and talents to life. He is, wow, man, I just have to take a breath on that one. That was beautiful, man. Whew. Thank you for that. He is a lead for a curriculum with MKP, Mankind Project USA. What the heck does that mean, Paul? Well, I'm glad you asked. That means that this guy is responsible for steering the curriculum and the learning and development of the men in the project, so that we bring our best to other men and we help them to their best. So blessings to you for that. And he is a facilitator for something called the Core Map, which is a map of personality typing. And from my experience of doing this, this Core Map is the real truth. We're gonna do another podcast on that, because Carmel, you already know, we can go a whole other thing on that one. A lot to learn on that. So I'm excited for Carmel to be here. I'm excited for this content that we're going to give you today. Before we dive in, Carmel, anything else you'd like to say to the people and to introduce yourself? Say hello, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was funny. We were warm it up for this, and I've told you this is my first podcast, and you seem rather shocked, but I'm really excited to be here and excited for what you and I have been doing over the past few years and to get a chance to share it. So thanks for having me.
Oh, man. Whoo, you're welcome. And thank you for being with me on this. And thank you for allowing me to be the first to break you into this podcast experience, because I have a feeling that you'll be doing many more of these coming up. So happy to be the first to experience with you, man. So people, Carmel and I have been working on a project about our words and words matter. And it's really, as we've been developing content, and Carmel's been doing a lot of heavy loading with this, like getting it approved, pulling together materials, getting the classes coordinated. And as he's taken this up a notch, we've decided to collaborate, really bring some positive things out there together. And we've had conversations around human development, brain development, language, relaxation, stress states. And as we were talking about this, I recognized that it's really important for people to hear this type, hear more about this during this time that we're in. And when I say that, when this is recorded, we're experiencing a quarantine and a spreading of a virus called COVID-19. Which is creating a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty, a lot of stress, anger, among other emotions that are coming up because it's shifting people. So, Carmel, to start off, before we even get into it, before we dive in, I'm curious to know for you, as a life coach, and especially as to learning a lot with like doing like a core map, how would you assess most people, how would you assess a person's state of people in these times that we're going through? How would you assess it?
It's almost like an invisible war. There's this hypervigilance and this fear of the unknown. That's triggering a lot of our negative reactive behaviors that under normal circumstances we seem to moderate. Right. And it's really that absolute unknown and realizing what our connections to others are and how do I recreate those, because that's where the sense of safety, the being safe lies is a knowing that I'm other than alone.
That's important to know. As I'm hearing your response and thinking about my question, I recognize people that are listening. That is a really general statement, and I'm going to go general here because this is. And I'm going to go general. I'm going to judge. I judge that a lot of people are holding emotions, and are uncertain of how to release or express them. Now, when that happens, especially from the work that Carmel and I have done with the Mankind Project, and that work specifically men's facilitation, learning about emotional intelligence, teaching men about that, teaching men about like things like accountability and clearing energy. One of the things that it really comes into play is the language that we use with each other in these times. So, Carmel. I'm going to have you, I'd like to talk about, from your perspective, why does it even matter for people to pay particular attention to the language that we're speaking in these times?
Yeah. It really goes back to how we're wired as humans. There's a system that's been designed for, as we've evolved, to keep us safe, to let us know when there's danger around, and to take action. Part of that system is voluntary, and part of that system is involuntary. It's just automatic. And a little bit about psychology is the body will, or the physiology will, the body will go into a fight mode if it can. It'll run to save itself. And in some cases, it's a mammalian thing, will actually go completely paralyzed, completely limp, completely freeze is the term that's thrown around.
Right. And this is based on a stress state or an environment.
Yeah. Okay. And the mechanism in the brain that occurs with is the amygdala. It turns on the cortisol and adrenaline and gets the muscles pumping up and the heart going and the lungs filling up and for preparing for something. And that's that state of stress. If we sit in that long enough, that's that state of stress.
I'll take a pause here for a second. This is huge. This is this amygdala thing is extremely important in our stress states, because like from what I hear you saying, like this amygdala will release hormones in your body that will get your body physically to do or be certain things. And the thing is this mechanism that Carmilla is discussing, we as humans have had this. The thing is, back in the day, our fight or flight response was in relation to a saber-toothed tiger or like, you know, listen, man, we either got to kill this thing or we're going to be killed or we got to freeze or fight. Now it's like, oh my goodness, I heard something bad on TV or like this happened in a melodrama. You know, it's a stress state. And now the thing that really creates havoc is this amygdala hijack. So it's like this over prolonged stay, all of a sudden, like you become hijacked, and that can look like you freak out on someone, or like you have a major outburst that's uncharacteristic of you, right? And it's interesting because like this is something that can happen from the slightest thing, right? Now, Carmel, what if you could talk to, now this amygdala is turned on, what can turn this off, or what, like, okay, first thing before that, we get to that, you have the amygdala, which is the fight or flight, and then what's the opposite end of that? Like, what's on the other spectrum? You got fight or flight, then there's the relaxed, the parasympathetic system. So what in the brain chemistry is that spectrum?
Yeah, at the other end of the spectrum is the being safe. It's the body producing oxytocin, okay, and the receptors in the brain receiving that. And what that creates is the feeling of trust.
Okay.
And when I trust, I am free of feeling a threat or danger. And I can utilize some tools consciously,
right,
to bring myself back to a better state of balance instead of the hyped out, overstressed, vigilant, where anxiety comes from. You know, people that are constantly in that state all the time, their anxiety is that high rate of hypervigilance and state you're stuck in.
So this is interesting because like I'm thinking about this from the person that has absolutely no knowledge of this, right? And because like, and from talking from my experience, before I started learning tools, and even still now, there's times when I could like be triggered. Like, and then I gotta have to like either breathe or like take a step back, literally, almost like I'm stepping out of a situation. I have to step back from my computer, by the way. so this is what are the things that people can do to diffuse or turn off the amygdala from your perspective?
Joe Dispenza, I love his work. He talks about turning it down. I don't know if we really get to turn it off. I think it's always on.
Dr. Joe Dispenza, yes. It's
kind of monitoring everything, right? And what they've learned recently with the neuroscience, in combination with the discovery of the vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. And the vagus nerve, to make it really simple, that connects the amygdala and part of the brain to the vocal cords, so you can hear when someone's excited and nervous. It connects it to the lungs and the heart and the gut and the adrenals. And so that's always monitoring what we're feeling in our body. So that's the part that sends the signal danger. And
the vagus nerve.
The vagus nerve. And then there's another one I'll go into in a minute that mentally signifies danger. But the body really sends the signal first. The emotion, the sensation in the body sends it to the brain. And now the brain goes into the fear, the fight or flight. How to reverse that is to calm that nerve in the front of the body by taking a breath. And exactly what you said, stepping back. If you can take 10, it's more than 10 times one breath. It's actually the equivalent of 100 times one breath of bringing your adrenaline, your fire, all that back to a calmer state.
In space. Yeah. This is major. I want to pause here because people, I don't know what people are thinking when they're listening to this. I want to pause and really highlight the importance of what you're saying here, because, well, you mentioned a couple key things. First, getting in the body, calming in the body, relaxing in the body, and giving the body a sense of safety. Even like me rubbing like the front of my chest right here is a sense of safety. Like, everything is going to be all right. Everything is, I'm sorry, I just got lost in that for a second. I was like, that feels really good.
Yeah. But
the thing that
I want to share with you, that's inherent knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You put your hand on your chest to give you that sense. That knowledge has been in there since you were born, and your mom did it to you, or, you know, people who loved you did it to you. So that sense is there, and the body remembers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the thing I love about, and thank you for saying that, because this is the thing I love about what we're doing, how in the vibration of language that can communicate with the body that there's safety. Like, this is the thing that's so freaking important that like I'm taking away from this, like from my experience and like integrating what we've been teaching ourselves over the past couple several years about language, that the vibration in how and in what I say, and even in how I say it, has an impact on the body physiologically, or on the body chemistry in itself, and so. So the thing we're working with is something called Words Matter. So you'll hear more about this as time goes on, like classes for you to learn more about this. And the thing that's really fascinating and interesting is that in the language that we say to ourselves and others, we can either create a stress state or a thinking state. Okay? And this is the piece, like Carmel was talking about the amygdala. There's also the prefrontal cortex, your thinking brain. It's a big, big, big old mass in the brain. A lot of gems there. And the thing is when we're in a stress state, that our access to that is limited. Very limited. So Carmel, talk to us about, because you've been studying the language, and you know, for this, we were working with a man, John Tompkins, who has a book called Red Language, Green Language. Wait, hold on. It's not talking to yourself. Talk to yourself differently. Yeah. I'll put the notes in the link in the show notes. And you've been working with him, and you learned a lot about language, and you even brought it to what we were doing in the men's work. So can you sum up or tell us about what was the tipping point for you in the learning process about language over the past several years?
Yeah, it actually started a long time before that. And that's what, when I heard that work, it really resonated with me. It goes back to a teacher I had a long time ago. And I used the word but in a statement. And he stopped me. And he says, you know that word's an acronym. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, it's an acronym. It stands for Behold the Underlying Truth.
Mm.
I was like, wait a minute. Okay, that's interesting. He goes, yeah, everything I set up to the butt is baloney. It's untrue somewhere. Mm. And after the butt, here comes the truth, right?
Hmm. Wait, so, say one more time the acronym of butt for people that may have missed that.
So butt is behold the underlying truth. For example, you did a great job, but.
Mm. Man, I find myself saying that on a regular. This is good. And but, or even when, yeah, wow. Behold the underlying truth. I dig that. I dig that acronym. Well, I don't really dig it, but I dig the awareness of it.
Yeah, because in what it does in the brain is it fires up that part of me that I'm going to be shamed.
Mm.
And shaming in where we are today is an attack.
Mm. What's another shaming word?
Should.
Ugh. Art.
You know what you should do?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. For people that are listening, if you have done this, you could put your hand up. I got my hand up high in this one. Oh my damn. Carmel, this one, when I first got knowledge about this one, oh Jesus. And you know who I said this the most to? Myself.
Oh yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Yep.
Yeah. And that comes where that really gets rooted in,
mm-hmm,
is when we're little, our parents tell us what to do.
Mm.
And because of the way they were taught, they used that tool to get us to do something, you know, to get us to behave or to get us to do something. And when we refused or postponed it, like I used to do for as absolutely as long as possible, there were consequences.
Yep.
And what I learned from consequences is when I was told to do something, I should do it. And when the parents are gone, I find that that voice is still there.
Right.
Except it sounds more like mine.
Ain't that something? That's one of the things you were talking about in the pregame, is how shaming's learned.
Yeah.
And that's a personally, I think shaming drives a lot of the consumer market, or the majority of the consumer market. It's like, you should have this car. Like, well, you're right. Damn it, I should. You know what? Why don't I? Oh, because I did this and this and this. Mm. And shaming is what? I am wrong. Right? I am wrong. Instead of I did something wrong, which is more guilt. Shame is, I am wrong. And it's so interesting in language how important that is, because it's like a collective thing, I gather. And I hear it when I first started really becoming more aware of this. I hear it in like even how I was talking to my sons, and especially how I was saying before I was telling myself, man. And I'm curious now, because now that we brought awareness to this, bless the folks on how you think that, or what, bless the folks on the capacity that we have to relearn or unlearn certain things.
Yeah, this is really the fun part, man. This is
fun for who?
This is awesome fun. It's exciting. It's amazing. It's just phenomenal what brain science has come up with in the last 20 years.
Mm.
And so now they've mapped the brain And they used to think that each section was completely localized and every brain was exactly the same. Well, they found that that's far from true, that the brain can actually recover and move things around. And it does more often than we move the furniture around in our house. It moves things around all the time. For example, they were working with mapping the brain, and they found that they could find where each finger had its own section in the brain. They're all next to each other, but they're all separate sections. Mm-hmm. Then they restricted them so they were all fused together and they all worked as one unit, like in a mitten, so to speak. Right?
Yeah.
And then they went back and checked the brain, and the five sections have reduced to one. The brain actually consolidated because it didn't need the horsepower or the capacity to move five fingers. It only needed to move one thing, so it reduced it to one thing.
So it's the adaptability of the brain.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Then they separated the fingers again.
Yeah.
And went back and mapped it, and there were five sections again.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, the reason the old dog has old tricks is because it learned them when it was a young dog. And the best part about this, what I just illustrated with the hand, is the brain unlearns. This is the new part. It's so important to unlearn so we have that capacity to put in new pieces, new whatever, right?
Yeah, you create space.
Yeah, and where we heal, we heal those wounding, shaming messages and beliefs about ourselves by shining a light on them and rewiring our thoughts, which rewires our brain. And how we do that is the words we speak to ourselves, our self-talk.
Ooh, man, can I get an amen? Not good. This is, I get chills thinking about this because, listen, first and foremost, this is a practice. Right. What we talk about here, on this men talk about podcast, when I made the commitment to do this, I made the commitment to be authentic and real about this and be free of the Pollyanna affect crap. So this is a practice. You can listen to this 100 times, and because you listen to it 100 times still means that you get to do the work. This is, it's like, this is about being aware of your language, really being aware, and what that feeling is for you, what it is for you, because that once you start to experience that piece, then you have more of the drive to want to truly create space, unlearn old stuff, create space for new stuff to lay its tracks down. So Carmel, I think it's really appropriate. I think we can leave the folks here with a couple of gems to start off with. And I'd like to also, after we do that, like talk to a little bit about this class that we got coming up, and then we'll wrap up. Cool?
Yeah.
So I'm going to start off, because I'm going to leave, I'm going to have you for the last recommendation. So I'm going to start off with, and as far as words, right, I'm going to give a little mind hack that I really like. Be free of the word just. Okay? For any person listening to this, take a day and listen out for the word just in your language. As soon as you become aware of the word just, stop, time out, reframe, say the same sentence again, free of just. Just take it out. Yep. For example, it's just a little cough, or it's just a cough. I'm okay. No, it's a cough. I'm okay. Or it's like, it's just a little bit of, it's just a little bit of cake. Or it's just a little this, it's not going to be that bad. No, free time, it's this, it's cake. Or I'm just a worker. You are a worker. You are this. Taking just, you're like, oh, I'm just, you minimize it. Why minimize it? Take, put yourself in it, own it. Take that just, take that qualifier out there. Be strong in that language. So again, be free of the word just. Own your language. Even take a day. If you want to take a whole week, do that. Tally it. See how many times you use the word. If not for the week, then just start. Even if it's for a day, try it. Give it a go. Carmel, what you got, my man?
Yeah. Doing a lot of study with belief. And when I'm in fear, my beliefs are of fear. And when I'm in a higher state of mind, the executive mind, my beliefs are about vision and creativity and possibility and capacity and all those kinds of imagination and inspiration, all those things come online. And how I do that is through my breath. Mm. The back part of that vagus nerve operates the lungs, where I consciously take deep breaths. It goes down into the gut where I can belly breathe. And taking, like Wim Hof shares, great technique. If you can take 30 breaths, I can move from that fear-based part of my brain that's trying to keep me alive and looking out for everything around the corner and constant high levels of stress, and move up to that part of my brain where I can be safe. Mm-hmm. I can understand what's true, and I can understand that what I'm hearing in the news and what I'm seeing on my computer screen is a triggering, toxic. And I'm taking that in, and I have the opportunity when I'm working from the top part to choose what I take in as opposed to responding to what's coming at me.
So the tip is breath.
Yeah, absolutely.
Breathe. Quiet. Breathe and gain consciousness.
Quiet, free of distraction. Go for a walk. Hold your yoga mat to the floor with your body for a while. Any of those kind of things where you reconnect and rebreathe into your body. Mm-hmm. I do it every morning, and my days are so much better. That triggering thing you were talking about, I actually understand who has the control of that trigger. Mm. It was always the other person. It was my boss. It was the whatever. It was... And now I realize, oh yeah, I got control of that trigger.
Ashe. Ashe, bro. Blessings, man. Thank you for that tip. Carmel, let's bless the people with a little bit of this class that we got coming up in the works. It's meant, notice, keyword, in the works, coming very soon though, for the end of April, called Words Matter. So I'll kick it off. Like we're gonna be doing a 3-week Words Matter course, a course that's gonna dive into how we use our language, the importance of our language, how it works, and also I think for based on this conversation too, I'd like for us, you may find us adding in breath techniques and relaxation techniques to bring calm and understanding and learning to a more fertile learning, so we can create a more fertile learning environment. So you really can integrate this knowledge that's about to come to you guys. So, Carmel, anything else you want to add to that, man?
Yeah, absolutely. When we're in that other state where we're breathing and we're relaxed and we're calm and we're oxygenating the brain by breathing consciously, the brain actually grows. Mm. It actually rebuilds, repairs, and regrows itself. And when we're in that fear-based state, it deteriorates. The entire mechanism to repair and rebuild itself is shut off entirely. Wow. And it can grow back and repair itself. I'll share some stories in the class. Oh my God, what we are capable of.
unlimited potential, man. We're totally. Just getting started. How the Carpenters say? We've only just begun to live. Ah! Carmelo, thank you, thank you, thank you. Before we wrap up, though, man, I give all my guests 90 seconds. 90 seconds. Some take less, some take more. Tell the people something that you want them to take away from this session with you as guest.
Yeah. In 90 seconds, in mapping the brain, we found a piece behind the left ear that lights up when there's missing information called the storyteller. So that little voice in your head is actually there. We know where it lives. And it's within your control. And it's the voice that when it's in fear, wants you to be a victim or wants you to fight or send you into complete shutdown and frozen. With a few techniques and a little love for yourself, a little self-care, you can recreate your life to something beyond your current imagination. Mm. Much love.
Wow. Hands up. Thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you, man. Woo! Wow, I want to breathe on that one, man. That was beautiful. Thank you, bro. Man, I'm so happy you were able to be on this. I'm so happy you did this, man. The first of many in your future. I can tell already. Thank you so much, Carmel, for the wisdom. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for everything that's about to go down with all this goodness that we're about to share with folks. And for folks that are listening, Carmel, how can people get in contact with you, man?
CarmelSurrett.com is a page that has most information about me and CoreMap and brain science and all kinds of good things in there. And that's my name. It's CarmelSurrett.com. Drop me a note if you have any questions. Or in there's resource books on all the books that I've information that came into this talk are there. So if you want to take a deeper dive, they're all there. My encouragement, because I've watched many, many people create lives in the blink of an eye that they didn't recognize were possible for themselves.
Blessings, man. Blessings, man. And everybody, stay tuned. Be on the lookout. We'll have another podcast about the core map. And stay on the lookout for this class, Words Matter Now More Than Ever, coming soon to a Zoom room near you. Be well, everybody. Carmel, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Peace.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Hope you enjoyed this episode of Men Talk About with my guy, Carmel Surrett. Stay tuned. There's going to be a class that's coming to dive deeper into this and for you to help teach yourself about the words that you speak and how you can reframe them to shift what's happening in your brain, what's happening in your energy, what's happening in your body. So stay tuned, and as always, thank you so much for listening in. Looking forward to having you in the next session.